We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
In stereo where available, welcome in to the Willie P Experience, an overnight edition and an at-home edition from my home to your home on the Great Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and wherever you may be on the radio.com app via your smart speaker or your smartphones. This, ironically enough, not the first time that I've broadcast from a house or somebody's bedroom. It's actually the first time I've probably been in my own bedroom broadcasting. I was able to do one show back in the day when I was working in Missouri, when I was able to basically go from my living room to the radio station where I was working at because of a snowstorm, and there was no way I could get plowed out of my house. This is obviously a much different scenario, and I only say it to try to keep the mood light because I know a lot of you have probably had a longer Monday than usual. I feel very fortunate, and I'm for those of you who caught my show Saturday, I expressed how fortunate I was to be having to work with different circumstances as opposed to those who are unable to work at all. I feel very grateful. I feel very fortunate, and I will continue to let you know about that over the course of the time as I continue to get hours. But I do know there are a lot of people, regardless of industry, that are hurting today. More and more we see the spread of this coronavirus continue, and we hear stories across the news that nobody wants to see happen. And I even found out some personal friends of mine who were actually afflicted with it. Some are okay, others aren't okay. And I'm sure it's gotten to a point where you probably can't go too far down your degrees of separation where you're finding somebody who's affected health-wise by this disease or financially or some other way because of what's happened over the course of the last 11 days. But the one thing that I will continue to say to you is that we here at 92.9 The Game will try to continue to be a distraction, a welcome one for you. I was doing a spot earlier today with one of my old newspaper friends who called me up and said, you know, how are you handling this? I said, you know what? Our goal doesn't change. We're here to enlighten. We're here to engage. We're here to entertain. But most importantly, we're here to provide that distraction for you and here to talk to you about sports. And so we will do that here on this Monday evening, which turns into Tuesday. I've got a couple of great conversations with two very, very close people in my sports network and two very prominent people. One of them is the great Tim Brando. He is somebody who has been a friend for about as long as I can remember in this business, a great advocate for those who are young broadcasters and trying to get themselves started in this business. I reached out to him very, very early in my career, have kept in contact, and I just wanted to get his perspective in very much a way just to kind of get his pulse on how he's handling this and how we should be handling this. And he was actually on one of the last broadcasts of sports, of live sports, that was broadcast to the masses with the Big East tournament. He and Nick Baugh were doing that at Madison Square Garden. They did the first half of the St. John's game before they ultimately decided to cancel the rest of the tournament and then do the rest of the NCAA tournament. And the other conversation will be with Larry McReynolds. There were a lot of recorded sports on this past weekend, and I watched a little bit of it, but I think the best thing that I saw of original programming content was the FS1 broadcast of the iRacing from the Homestead Miami Speedway, which had about 30 cars, all NASCAR drivers and iRacing drivers who basically got together, ran about 100 laps, and it looked about as real as you could make it look. And it was really, really fun and presented in a cool and great way to just kind of get your mind up on what was going on. And Larry Mack was part of that broadcast. You know him, of course, as America's crew chief. I talked with him about not only how he's handling the scandal, but how intriguing and interesting that broadcast was. We'll talk to him coming up about an hour and 10 minutes from right now. The phone number is still the same, and I'll continue to solicit your phone calls at 404-741-0929. Of course, you always reach us via the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I have it open, so if you want to send a text, say, hey, hey, Willie P, hope you're doing all right, and hope everything's going well with you. And again, you know, I'm here. The only thing that I can basically see right now from where I'm sitting in the little nook that's inside my bedroom right now is I can see my fridge. And I know about at 2:01 when I get off the air, there is a cold beer that's waiting for me, and it's tantalizing me. And it's the worst feeling in the world when you know that there's beer in a fridge and you cannot drink it until the hour is nigh when you get off the air. But that is a burden that we will share and share together. And if you're having a cold one right now, have an extra one for me. Jahi Whitehead is in the studios in our Midtown setup in Atlanta. Let's try and tell you what's happening going on here in Atlanta.
Peter,
What's
happening?
Much like the first week of free agency was for the Falcons, the first Sunday of free agency was just as much. They were able to bring back cornerback Bleedy Ray Wilson. He was brought back on a team-friendly deal to help for some secondary depth. Obviously, I don't think the Falcons are done. I think if there is a position in the draft that they have to focus on right away, it is the secondary. I can blame Mike Bell for this, and I have no problem doing so. One of the things that I was doing on Sunday after I watched church on the laptop, which is a very unique experience, let me tell you, it felt like a shut-in, is that I did get myself, after vowing to not do any work yesterday, I put myself in the position of Falcons general manager and started doing some mock drafts on the Draft Network. And Mike, I blame you for getting us all addicted to that because, let's be real, it is very addicting. And so every time I tried to simulate the draft, it got harder and harder to try and find somebody to fill that void at 16. There was the kid out of LSU, Fulton, the defensive back. But the one guy who I kept wanting to show up there was C.J. Henderson at Florida. And per the conversation I had over the weekend with Eric Edholm, he seemed to think that he's not going to be available. And so because of that, you're starting to now see other teams have interest in guys like Henderson and Javon Kinlaw, who we thought would fall to the Falcons at 16 and now might not be available. And because of that, you're now having to see a lot of people look the way the Falcons were looking over the first portion of our draft analysis, which is to still fortify the edge rushing position. And in a couple of the mocks, the best guy that was available on the board was none other than Clavion Chaisson. So because of that, now I'm looking at this and saying, my goodness, we're back to square one with where we thought the Falcons would be on draft day. But this all can change over the course of the next couple of months. The Falcons might even be in that position by the time the draft comes around. I still think trade back is a possibility. I would not say it's the best possibility, but I think if you can go back and get some volume and add to your existing picks, the problem with the Falcons that they have right now is they only have six picks in the draft. So because of that, you have to be wary about what you do with your draft capital. They might have to sacrifice some draft capital next year to move back into a couple of rounds because they still have some spots that they need to fill. One of those spots, though, that we didn't think they were going to fill, which was some wide receiver depth, and that was with Laquon Treadwell, the former Ole Miss and Minnesota Vikings wide receiver who had really fallen out of favor in Minnesota. Somebody who, through four seasons, has just 65 catches for 701 yards. If you remember this guy back at Ole Miss, he was a beast. And I thought that, you know, having the offense that Minnesota has, the ability to go down the field like they do with Stephon Diggs, I thought that Treadwell would be a big part of that. And you know what? It wasn't. So they're trying to see if he can maybe be that third or fourth wide receiver, kind of what Justin Hardy has not been for them over the course of his tenure with the Falcons. I know they really like what they got from Russell Gage last year, the third wide receiver, and I've told you about the ability of Hayden Hurst to split out as a slot man as a tight end. But Treadwell represents an intriguing option, does so on a very low-cost option. And because of that, you really wonder where he fits into the Falcons' plans. Could be, again, one of those things where, like we see in baseball, one of those non-roster invitee type guys who tries to make the team out of spring training. They will try to use that model to maybe have Treadwell make the team out of training camp if he can get some good run during the preseason. And the third move was offensive lineman Justin McCray, who started four games at guard for the Browns. This is, I don't think, the left guard of the future for the Falcons. I think this is the Wes Schweitzer of the future, maybe a little bit better of a Wes Schweitzer. He's not somebody who can play center, but he will basically be the de facto swing guard, break glass in case of emergency type guy for the Falcons at left guard if they have an injury to Brown or Carpenter, or insert whoever they're going to put, just they're going to stick there because of the fact that there's obviously not that many options at left guard. And so because of that, I still think the Falcons will be active at the draft to try and find an interior lineman. So said also Jason Butt earlier today on Dukes and Bell on the afternoon show. Some good news in the coronavirus world. We did find out today that Charles Barkley tested negative for COVID-19, so that is some encouraging news. Remember, he fell ill when they were on that Inside the NBA broadcast, or at least he fell ill before that, and had to join the Inside the NBA broadcast on that Thursday over the phone. Found out today that he tested negative, so that's some good news there. And this news, again, that came earlier today and has been refuted by the IOC, but somebody, one of their members, basically spoke out of school. The aptly named Dick Pound said that the IOC plans to postpone the Tokyo 2020 Olympics until next year. The IOC has refuted that claim. They apparently have about 4 weeks to get their ducks in a row and figure out if they're still going to hold the Tokyo Olympics. Again, we've told you over the course of the last couple of days that Canada says they will not send a delegation to the Olympics if it happens on time. President Trump said that they will send one from the United States, although the U.S. Track and Field and Swimming Federations have both called for the suspension of the July Games. There's no real way they can hold the Olympics on time, guys. And it's not having anything to do with what's going on with the virus in July. It has more to do with the fact that people are at a disadvantage in training right now. And I think that's the real barrier. You do not want anything to taint the results of a July Games in Tokyo. And I think not having the training ability, you know, swimmers not being able to get in pools, gymnastics athletes not being able to get inside gyms, the basketball teams are not playing right now. There's just no real way to get a barrier or to get a feel for when you're able to get people back to training and getting them back to the optimal training value. Heck, you know, in Atlanta, we just had the marathon, the time trial marathon a couple of weeks ago, and there were still obviously a lot of people who are trying to qualify around the world for that. And because of the fact that we're not seeing people inside gyms, having social distancing all over the country, all over the world, really doesn't make a whole lot of sense to hold a worldwide athletic endeavor like the Olympics, not to mention all the travel and the variable unknowns that are involved with putting people inside international travel and not knowing the full scope of when the coronavirus will end up. So Dick Pound basically alluded to what many believe is the inevitable, but to me, seems like it should come sooner rather than later. Willie P is in the house, literally, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 404-741-0929 is how you get in touch with us. Hope you're enjoying yourself wherever you might be listening to us across our radio dials. And hope you've also taught your phone how to get us via your smart speaker or your smart device. Those devices and speakers are smart, but they're not too smart to where you can't take us with you wherever you might be. Just download the Radio.com app on your iPhone or your Android-related device or your Amazon Echo or your Google Home device and ask it to play 929 The Game on the Radio.com app. That way you can take us wherever you go and not miss a minute of the best sports in Atlanta and the best sports in the Southeast, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The man who was on the last broadcast available with live sports from the Big East Championship, Fox Sports' Tim Brando, joins me next. I ask him how surreal it was to be on that broadcast and also how he's handling the coronavirus stoppages when he returns with me, Willie P, next with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and the radio.com app on all your smart speakers and smart devices. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and of course the radio.com app on all your smartphones and smart speakers. And as I've tried to figure out how to kind of cope with the last couple of days and weeks, you know, I saw Bill Plaschke of the LA Times actually call up Vin Scully because he wanted to hear his voice. And that's kind of where I'm at with our next guest, Tim Brando, of course, somebody who a familiar voice to anybody who listens to this radio station, not only with the NCAA tournament and college football as well. He joins us now on the WaitForIt.com hotline. And literally, Tim, I feel exactly the same way as Bill Plaschke did. I called you up just because your voice is comforting and I just wanted to hear it.
Well, I'm flattered, you know, to put me up there with Vin Scully. My goodness, should I say something about, the Goodyear Blimp Enterprise cascading across a clear blue sky at Dodger Stadium, two outs in the bottom of the second with two on and two out, two and two, deuces wild at Dodger Stadium.
That gets it. That gets it. That certainly does.
That's the best Vin I could come up with. On a moment's notice, so that's as good as I can do.
I appreciated it all the same. You asked me kind of how I was doing here in Atlanta before we got on the air. How are you doing, sir?
Well, I put out a message actually earlier today. We're taping this on Monday, and I've gotten so many calls from so many people. And so many messages from so many people in the aftermath of the way the college basketball season ended. And my younger brother, Kurt, passed away in Hong Kong. He was a journalist there on March the 5th, and I knew he was really, really ill for the last couple of years. But I didn't think that he would die so suddenly, and he did. And I found out about it, frankly, on his birthday, which was Valentine's Day. And then he took a big turn for the worst on my birthday when I was in my car headed from the Purdue-Indiana game. I was being driven by a car service up to Milwaukee to do a Saturday game at Marquette. So that was a very difficult period. But I will tell you that getting to work, thank God I had the games to do because it was it served as therapy for me. I could just pour myself into what I was doing and let the mourning hold off, you know, the processing of his passing hold off until such time as I knew that, you know, he'd be gone. And, you know, given the circumstances around the world right now, it's going to be God only knows how long before we get his remains back home. So the American consulate's doing all they can for us, but it's just difficult. And just the other day, I got a call about a gentleman I work for in the business, whose name I can't divulge now because I don't think they've made an announcement, but someone that really meant a lot to me in the television business has passed away. And gosh, you know, that just, and this was somebody I talked to probably once a week. You know, we talked all the time. He was once a boss. He later became a counselor, so to speak, for me. I just stayed in contact with him. And you couple that with everything else that's going on, you know, with your own family and being detached from my grandkids. I haven't seen them since I came back home because I was in New York, you know, and being in New York after doing the Big East tournament, I certainly didn't want to run the risk of infecting my kids or my grandkids. So we're waiting my wife and I are going to wait another week before I actually make contact with them. So, you know, it's been weird, Will. It's just been, and I've lived a long time and gone through a lot of bizarre sets of circumstances, both on the air and off. I've had a lot of loss of good friends and close relatives through the years. But the combination of doing your job, being on the road, maintaining this incredible fun, but difficult at times travel lifestyle it's nuts. And then all of a sudden you come home and you can't do anything. You know, this would normally be the time you'd have a hard time tracking me down because I would be, you know, at the 10th tee at Southern Trace, ready to hit a ball again. You know, this is my time to sort of enjoy life, and there's not a lot out there to enjoy right now other than the relationships, and that's one of the things I stressed in my my message that I put out on Instagram and Twitter Monday, is that we need to, you know, people are talking about what they're doing with their time and how to best use their time, and what I'm suggesting is, regardless of how old you are, you've no doubt already had a number of influential people in your life. Make contact with those people. They may have been in your life 6 months ago and it meant a lot, and all of a sudden you haven't engaged with them. Give them a call, you know, not just a text, but a call, so they can hear your voice and they can be reminded of how much you know, you might mean to them, and vice versa. So the spirit of your call and the spirit of that message, I think, are running in concert with one another.
Tim Brando, of course, familiar voice joining us here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as Will Pelagic continue to broadcast from the Kia Studios here in Atlanta. And, you know, it's funny, Tim, I was in my house at the beginning of, I guess, what the quarantine was, when I saw your face and I saw Nick Boz on there at Madison Square Garden. You mentioned how eerie it was doing a game inside that arena with just a friends and family crowd. How eerie was that? And I know that it's impossible to look at how it was handled now, because in a vacuum, we really didn't know what the magnitude of everything going on was going to be. But that had to be one of the most interesting things you've had to go through as a broadcaster.
Yeah, it was by far the most bizarre feeling I ever had. Now, I did do the 2008 SEC tournament when everyone in Atlanta remembers the Georgia Dome was struck with a F2 tornado, which forced the move of the tournament from the Georgia Dome, and they actually physically did all of that with the facilities, the technological facilities of Raycom Sports at that time, Raycom and Jefferson Pilot, to get everything moved over to the Thriller Dome on the campus of Georgia Tech, which is now McCamish Pavilion. That was unreal, that entire day and night, off on the air with what was happening and staying on the air, not knowing whether we were going to play another game or not, and then ultimately going off the air and then leaving the place, and it looked like we were in a war zone in downtown Atlanta, and then getting to the Marriott Marquis just a few blocks away where everything was perfect. You know, they didn't even lose power. And we were waiting to be told when and where we needed to be for the second quarterfinal game to be played. That was the Mississippi State-Alabama game. And then we had to do Georgia and Kentucky, game two of the quarterfinals. And Georgia wound up having to play two games that day. Won them both, of course, went on to win the tournament. One of the great Cinderella conference tournament stories of all time, really. They had only won four conference games. This was different because it affected the whole country. I mean, what was going on at the Garden was just a microcosm of what was going on everywhere. And when they started pulling the players off the floor in Indianapolis at the Big Ten and Greensboro at the ACC, honestly, we thought the same thing was going to happen where we were. And because it didn't, it made for, I don't know, some skepticism maybe that we would ever finish the game. Now, once we started the game, and there were only 200 fans for each team, 200 fans for each team allowed, so that's 400 people, plus they had the pep bands and the cheerleaders. It didn't count against that number. Once the game started, you know, the guys in the truck, they do their best to augment with natural sound with microphones on the floor and around the coaches, and you know you could hear the band, and so it sounded and felt like a pretty good environment, and certainly the game was played at a high level. It was a really well played 20 minutes of basketball. St. John's was on a run. You know, they had just beaten Georgetown the night before, came from behind to do it, had a 23-0 run to close the game. If they win this game, they're on to the semifinals. It's a home floor for them. You know, you kind of got the feeling maybe there's a little magic in there for the Red Storm. And then all of a sudden we throw it to L.A. at halftime and a reality check, you know, immediately. It's like, boom, okay, we're not going to play. Mm-hmm. The Butler coaches were getting ready to play Providence, and they actually were the ones that informed Nick and I that we didn't have to worry about doing a second half because they had just been told to go home. And that was, to be honest with you, at that moment, disappointing because, you know, you get lathered up. The game is good. It's being played at a pretty high level. And I never thought if we started the game that we wouldn't finish. You know, I'd never really considered that as a possibility. But I think what happened, they'll never say this, and I think a lot of Val Ackerman, I think she's a really good, one of the really solid leaders of intercollegiate athletics we have in our country, and she's done a lot with David Stern at the NBA for many, many years, for women's basketball as well with the WNBA. But I don't doubt for one second that the bad optics of that first half being the only half that was being played had to play a role in them stopping it right then and there. That had to play a role, in my opinion. And we gave a summation on the circumstances and in the moment, what had happened with the NCAA the night before. Remember, when we went off the air, the NCAA tournament was still on.
Right.
It was still going to be played. And so for that tournament and all the other tournaments to end as abruptly as it did, you had to, in the moment, recognize the fact that something might change, but how wild is it that we're not going to have conference tournament champions and automatic bids coming from these conference tournaments, and the NCAA still has Selection Sunday just a couple of days away? I mean, you know, now, granted, Duke and Kansas both had to say that they weren't going to play officially as universities before the NCAA tournament was called off officially. But there was just a lot of moving parts. There were a lot of moving parts that we had to deal with in that moment in time. I'll forever be the answer to a Sports Jeopardy question. Alex, give me college basketball for 50, or is it 150? Maybe it's 200 now. the question is, name the broadcaster not named Nance who called the last basket on national television in 2020.
True.
And the who is Tim Brando, Alex? That would be...
That's crazy.
A rather dubious distinction to have.
And yourself as somebody who also was almost the Wheel of Fortune daytime host, too.
You picked up on that, huh?
Oh, you know how... You and I go back a long time, Tim. I know a lot about your history. And, of course, a little bit from Tim Brando. I've got, honestly, 12 more minutes with him that I don't have enough time to play right now, but we'll play a little bit of the second part of that conversation coming up later on in the program, including when I'll ask him whether or not it'll feel as awkward going back to sports after the coronavirus as it did for folks after the attacks of September 11th. That comes your way later on. All right, now, though, Willie P. is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, or wherever you might be via the radio.com app on your smart speakers and your smartphone. We'll come back. I had the craziest dream last night, and it was about being in this studio and the conversation I had with somebody involving the Falcons. You're not going to want to believe what I did inside my dreams last night. It was bizarre, to say the least. It's Will Pelagic here with you, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the radio.com app on smart speakers and smartphones.
Willie P is in the house. Actually, Willie P is in the Midtown apartment. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. And wherever you might be streaming us via the radio.com app on your smartphone or your smart speaker, do I really have to watch this Tiger King thing? Yes, no, thumbs up, thumbs down. 404-741-0929 is how you get in touch with me. Everybody seems to think, like, it's weird how, and This is not the biggest deterrent for me when it comes to a new show or something is when everybody's talking about it. Because I don't know about you, but that turns me the you know what off. Because then I almost feel like everybody's on the take for this thing. Like the show that you feel like people are being paid to tell you this is the greatest thing ever. Game of Thrones was like that for me. Game of Thrones, I didn't get into until very, 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 very late in the game. And by very, very late, I mean like the last season or the penultimate season, the second to last season. So I'll probably get around to watching the Tiger King because there's absolutely nothing else on. But I can tell you right now, the same thing that was getting me with the Game of Thrones thing is getting me with the Tiger King thing. Because all anybody talked about at the beginning of Game of Thrones, and spoiler alert for those of you who were like the last people on Earth who haven't seen it, people said, oh, it's full of incest. And I was like, whoop, hard no. Hard no for me. No way I could get it. I could get down with incest. Not a bit of that. And of course, the thing with Tiger King is that there's polygamy as far as the eye can see. Oh, no. No for me. No polygamy for me. None for me, please. But apparently, as people have said, you look past the polygamy. You look past it, so far as I know. But again, be that as it may. I wanted to tell you again, one of the things that was probably the best advice I ever got in this business was be authentic, be real. If something is bothering you, say it. Don't come on the air trying to hide things. I'll tell you right now, folks, last couple of days for a lot of people have been pretty bad. I've been rather fortunate, but I think for all of us are dealing with the same kind of mental anxiety and anguish of not only our routine being disrupted, but those of us who've had to work at home. And again, working at home, I will say, is better than not having the option to do that, which I know a lot of you are in. And because of that, my thoughts and prayers out to you. But it has caused a lot of anxiety. Last night, I had the roughest time getting to sleep. I'll tell you right now, and it had nothing to do with even just the fact that I was going to be on the air today. It just the weight of the entire week just finally came crashing down, and it was just weighing on my head. So I took an extra 10 milligrams of melatonin last night. Boy, I made that mistake. That was not a good mistake to make, because I had the most vivid work dream. And who here has work dreams? Like work dreams are the worst dreams that you could possibly have. A dream about you being at your job is like the worst thing. And it's not because of the fact that we have the best job in the world. Talking sports is the best job in the world. But like our other like doing this is a dream come true for me, but having a dream about it, it's always because something went wrong or something, you know, went awry. And this is what happened in my work dream. I'm on the air. I'm talking with, and I have no idea why. I have no idea why it's this specific person, but I'm talking with Jason Butt of The Athletic, somebody who I might have had a grand total of 4 conversations with in my entire life. I have no idea why I'm talking to this person. Lo and behold, we're doing an interview like we would be doing on the air here. And all of a sudden, we get into this big argument on the air about the viability of preseason football. I will sit here and also tell you right now, I have no unearthly idea what Jason Butt's thoughts are on preseason football or the viability of the games. We were having some sort of discussion that revolved around, you know, whether or not you cut down the preseason, truncate it in any way in order to get in a full regular season NFL schedule, and whether the owners would buy it. And his argument was you need the full preseason to get guys up to speed, especially with a potential off-season program going away, in which, again, I was like, you know what? You really don't need the preseason, because they're going to use the preseason the same way they always use the preseason, which is not use it. So we're going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and I hung up on him in vigor and disgust. And I woke up, and anytime you have a conversation with somebody in your life, you feel like you have to text them an apology and be like, I'm sorry, dream me, really let dream you have it. And I really felt like texting him today and being like, look, Jason, I don't know if you felt this in any way spiritually or not, but the dream version of Willie P really tongue-lashed the heck out of you. So from my dream, Willie P, to your dream, Jason Butt, I sincerely apologize. But it allows me to also talk about the opening 7 days of Falcon free agency and really center around how the Falcons have completely remade their roster. It's something to behold. And while I'm not going to sit here and tell you this is a Super Bowl contending roster, that'd be lying to you. That'd be disingenuous. But what I will tell you is they have done more with less than I think anybody really expected them to even have. Like the big narrative this off season for a lot of us, we were told about it until we were blue in the face. There is no cap room. There is no cap room. There is no cap room. Well, I John Chuckery was somebody who said this earlier in his program, and it's been echoed by a couple other people who I've heard over the course of the last couple of days, is that this looks like the building of what we saw in 2016, where you have a lot of guys who are brought in on prove-it deals, some lesser-known guys, and some people who have faced some adversity in their NFL careers, and they're being told to come together for a one-season run at this thing. And while it might only be a one-season run to a wild card, it's the kind of Band-Aid on the franchise that will not only allow Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff to put their long vision plan back into place and possibly shed some more of the anchored money that is on this franchise away and build something for the future. I don't think anybody has any delusions of grandeur that this team is going to represent the NFC in Tampa Bay at the Super Bowl. But if they can get into the postseason, if they can turn this around, show the kind of propensity on defense that they did last year in the second half, and play more consistent offensive football over 16 games, they have themselves the ability to make some noise. While it's a crowded NFC and a very crowded NFC South, you're not scared of the Carolina Panthers. The thing about Tampa Bay is that, yes, on paper, Tom Brady at age 43 should be able to ratchet up more of the Brady of old with better pieces around him than he had in New England last year. But what if a lot of those ills that we saw with the Patriots show up when he's by the Bay? Could very well come to pass. And the thing about New Orleans is that, yes, they add Emmanuel Sanders to a very potent passing attack that had Michael Thomas set records. But Breeze is another year older. I know he got injured last year. A lot of that injury was not necessarily due to health. It was a rough break for him. But there could be a potential aging element involving Breeze game as well. So you have two quarterbacks with a track record that exceeds anybody else, but going towards an uncharted territory we have not seen since George Blanda was in the league. Far be it from me to not be a bit bullish on Matt Ryan, Julio Jones, and the chances of the Falcons. Are the Falcons completely fixed? No. Will it take a good draft to really get people's attention more? Absolutely. 16 is still not a clear choice for me because, like I said earlier, going through a lot of these mock drafts, the players that the Falcons coveted aren't readily available. They're just not there. C.J. Henderson and Javon Kinlaw, names that we were basically having talked about for the better part of a month and a half, they've gotten too good. Their stocks have risen too much. They've jumped out on tape. They jumped out at the combine. And because of that, and this time of uncertainty where we don't have pro days, we don't have that extra data point to go off of, their particular stock has gotten to a point where teams are looking at them and finding them more desirable than those you might take a chance on. And this is something I talked about, too, with Eric Edholm on Saturday on my show. If you missed any part of that, you can find it on the radio.com app and at 929thegame.com. But he said this is going to be a year that will not look kindly on players who played at mid-majors. It will not look kindly on players who looked at a particular situation and thought, hey, I could maybe use my pro day to up my stock if I was not invited to the combine. You're going to see a very top-heavy draft when it comes to Power 5 schools and top talent, and you're going to see a lot of teams in the later rounds, 4, 5, 6, and 7, fly blind. And because of that, a lot of players are going to fall through the cracks, and it'll be the teams that have the best scouting departments that have the ability to get one over on those guys. But I personally believe that if you look at and you look at this and you say there's an ability for you to look at a guy and say, you know what, let's take a chance on him. The one thing you can be fortunate about for the Falcons is that they only have 6 picks. So they will literally clutch to those like pearls. And because of that, you will look at their particular scenario and say they might be better off because some of these teams who have more picks might actually be taking some more calculated risks than others might. And the fact that they don't have a pick between 4 and 7, now that probably won't stay that way. They'll probably find a way to trade back into the 5th and 6th round just to get some volume. But be that as it may, the Falcons have themselves in a scenario where they need 3 things before anything else. They need a corner, they need a linebacker, and they need something by the way of an interior guard, somebody who can be your left guard of today and your center of the future so that you have something as a backup plan when you inevitably lose Alex Mack over the next couple of years. I think you've addressed running back. I think if you see one who is best on the board somewhere in the 3rd or 4th round, you take him. Someone like a Jonathan Taylor or a Cam Akers, I think you still take that. You shed either Ito or Brian Hill, one of those two guys, and you take that and you use that as your quote-unquote luxury pick. But I don't know if you can afford to take another pass rusher right now. I don't know if you can afford to take Chase on unless he's the absolute only choice you can make at 16. If Kinlaw's there at defensive tackle, you grab him. If Henderson's there at 16 at corner, you grab him and you fulfill a need. The path has become a lot murkier for how the Falcons are going to navigate their way through this draft. But if there's one thing that they've done, and through 1 week, you didn't think this was going to happen, but they made their roster, their 2020 roster, a better one than the one that ended the 2019 season. Willie P is in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. More NFL news and notes when we come back, including a new logo for the Rams and another rejection by a legend. Willie P is in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and wherever you might be taking us in via the radio.com app on all your smart speakers and smartphones.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.